It's 12 o'clock. You're in tune to KZSU Stanford. Time again for a special edition of the Lunch Special. And got to let you know the views or opinions expressed by the host, DJ, or their guests present on KZSU 90.1 FM Stanford do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Leland Stanford Junior University Arts Associates. We thank you for tuning in and welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special.
Pity the nation whose people are sheep and whose shepherds mislead them. Pity the nation whose leaders are liars, whose sages are silenced, and whose bigots haunt the airwaves. Pity the nation that raises not its voice except to praise conquerors and acclaim the bully as hero and aims to rule the world with force and by torture. Pity the nation that knows no other language but its own and no other culture but its own. Pity the nation whose breath is money and sleeps the sleep of the too well fed. Pity the nation, oh, pity the people who will allow their rights to erode and their freedoms to be washed away. My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty.
Blueberry, blueberry. Think of it as dessert for your line. For your line. Sugarless and E-less. And E-less. That's blueberry. That's blueberry. BLU BRRY.com.
From Wisconsin, we gave you Joseph McCarthy and Blue Ribbon Beer. We fabricate public sentiment, pay for a senator or a president. We get through with the immigrants, we're coming after the queers. Whistle me up a memory, take me back to better days. When the poor man was helpless and by God he stayed that. Carry me back to a simpler time when a big dog was king. No man had to pretend he gave a damn about his brother. You boys settle this with each other now. We got guards at every gate. Lost some ground in the labor years. We got better at selling fear. We took it back in the 50s when we got the unions on the run. Lost control somewhere in 65. We put our war on the TV. People could see it's reality. Won't make that mistake again. Whistle me up a memory. Take me back to better days. The dark man had reason to fear, kept in his place. Carry me back to a simpler time when a big dog was king. And no man had to pretend he gave a damn about his brother. You boys settle this with each other now. We got guards at every gate. The weak and the lazy. They were working on a 12-course meal and the dreams of the poor. They were dining on a 12-course meal and the dreams of the poor. accepted her fate. Carry me back to a simpler time when the big dog was king. No man had to pretend he gave a damn about his brother. You boys settle this with each other now. We got guards at every gate.
Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on this Monday afternoon. It's a special one. It's 2 hours long. I'm your host, Bird, and brought back a guest we had a couple of months ago. He's a former Stanford lecturer, 26 years here at Stanford in the Structured Liberal Education Department, and I'm going to go ahead and introduce George Cattermole. George, welcome back to KZSU.
Well, it's great to be here again. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, and we're going to get into all your particulars as the show progresses. It's a two-hour show today. But, George, you brought a special guest with you who, by the way, was that playing and singing on that last song. And why don't you go ahead and introduce briefly introduce yourself, George, and your guest.
Well, I'm glad to be back. My name is George Cattermole. I went to school here in the 60s and then taught in the 70s, 80s, and pretty much through the 90s. I now have an old general store over on the coast. And
Where is that? What's that called?
In San Gregorio. And we...
was that the San Gregorio store?
That's right.
I know that place.
And in fact, that song you just heard has been played there many times by a man named George Kinchlow. And he plays... his band is Atkinson Kinchlow. And... they play, I think, what is it now? Is it the third Saturday afternoon of every month? And I wanted to point out that the first piece beginning this show was a poem by and read by Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
That's right.
And when I think of George and his music, I think of several observations that Lawrence Ferlinghetti makes in a book that he wrote called Poetry as Insurgent Art. In fact, it is pretty much insurgent art that has kept me running an old general store all these years, the importance of insurgent art. And I want to read a few snippets from that wonderful little book, very much reminding me of George and his work. Dig folk singers who are the true singing poets of yesterday and today. Resist much, obey less. Be a wolf in the sheepfold of silence. The state of the world calls out for poetry to save it. If you would be a poet, create works capable of answering the challenge of apocalyptic times, even if that means sounding apocalyptic. This is George Kinchlow. Hi, George.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me on. It's an honor to be here.
Welcome to KZSU.
Yeah, I like to let my music speak for myself, but I've been told I have a big mouth too, so I might opine a couple of things about why I've written some of these songs, why I won't do things like go to Bohemian Grove, which that last song was called Campfire at Bohemian Grove. It has a long history of, in my mind, neutering artists by including them in the upper class trip up there. And the guy playing the Telecaster on that last cut was a fellow named Mark Caron, who's you deadheads will recognize as the man they brought in to not replace Jerry Garcia, but to when they went out as the band called what was their first band? Wasn't Missing Man. Anyway, when they came back out as the Dead, he was the guitar player. He's been playing with Bob Weir the last 12 years, and honored an honored friend of mine, and he was playing the telly on that, and he really wanted to do it because he wanted to shove it in Bob's face a little bit. Well, Bob's a great guy, I should add. He took care of Mark when Mark went through 2-year bout with throat cancer, and Bob Weir stood behind him, kept him on the payroll, did every possible thing he could. So I'm not here to knock Bob Weir, just the song is about how the robber barons, the guys who are still running the country, long for the old days when they could do this stuff more and more in the open, although it seems like more and more they're doing it in the open again under cover of the right-wing radio stations that's filling everybody's head with nonsense. And shall we do Marty's tune? I play with a band called Atkinson Kinchlow, and my surviving partner, my wife died last year, Lisa Atkinson. We're going to hear some of her music. My surviving partner is a crazy Canadian who shares a lot of views with Mr. Cattermole and I and Bird. And he wrote almost a rap song about the Renaissance of the Robber Barons, I think, right? So maybe George could fill you in on that.
I think I can do that. And maybe Bird, maybe you should reiterate that the views here and so on are not necessarily the views of Stanford.
I don't need to read that again, but I'm just wondering,
because they certainly aren't.
You guys are a couple of those left-wing progressive activists, right?
Yeah, I'll cop to that.
Okay, and would you consider yourself lefties?
I would consider myself left.
Okay, well, so just so the radio audience knows who they're listening to, you know, because this is Stanford Radio, you know.
Yeah, and I'm going to repeat what I said last time, which is I enjoy being here in this bunker right across the street from that august institution, the Hoover Institution.
Well, we call it Mordor.
Mordor. Well, I
yeah,
call
you
it,
know, you know, like in Lord of the Rings.
I call it the power phallus of fascism, or the Republican noise machine. And I've always been concerned, as I think other members of the faculty here have been over the years, of the relationship between Hoover and Stanford, the academic Stanford.
Is there any?
Of course there is. And what I'd like to do is I pretty much envision my mission here, if you will, as as being trying to provide some balance. I want Stanford University as an institution to be like Fox News. I want it to be fair and balanced.
And, wait a minute. Fox News isn't fair and balanced.
Well, if you look at Hoover Tower, you can see that it does lean a bit to the right.
Now, when you were here back in the day, George, when I say day, you were here, you bought the store in 1980. Mr. Cattermole. Yeah. So that means you were at Stanford up until then. So 1980 was 30 years ago. So in the 26 years you were at Stanford before 1980, was it a right-wing school? Was it a left-wing school? What was it? And Hoover was here, right?
Oh, Hoover's been here
since Hoover.
Since Hoover.
What was it back then? Is it different now?
Oh, I think it is much different now, because I think a lot of it has to do with the change in media reach. It's interesting. I just heard from a former professor here who was fired from the university, a man named Bruce Franklin.
Can they do that? Can they fire
professors? A professor of English. They fired two professors here that I know of. One was Thorsten Veblen way, way back when. Mrs. Stanford did not like his left-wing views. Bruce Franklin was also fired for his speech. I believe the vote was 3-2, and to his credit, our former President Kennedy voted for Franklin, as I recall. But at any rate, I just heard from Bruce, and he suggested that I look up the number of op-ed pieces that appear in the Wall Street Journal that actually come out of Hoover, and it's rather striking. In fact, I would invite people out there in radio land to look into that. And you can reach me through the San Gregorio store, sangregoriostore.com, and I would really like to hear from people who have information about Hoover and about Hoover's relationship to Stanford, because I think it's something that really deserves a lot of attention.
So we know how you feel about Hoover now.
Now you know how I feel. And this next song is written and performed by Marty Atkinson, George's partner in his band. The other member is Scott Bennion, plays bass. This song is called "The Renaissance of the Robber Barons," and I think you may recognize some Hoover types in it.
These pesticides in our water supply, Cause the creeps who make it have political ties. To the creeps in the White House who live by lies, who wait around their country clubs up to their necks in blood, drunk on the money they get from selling weapons to other countries, where they teach the people to blow up each other's children until the streets of their cities look like a living hell. They pat each other on the back like it's a job done well, cause praise the Lord, hallelujah, we've got guns to sell. Come on, boys, let's have another drink. Play another 18 holes. Stolen elections? Nothing short of a coup d'etat, so they can send the recruiters out into the neighborhoods of the truly honorable people of this country to steal the lives of their kids, send them off to some war-torn hellhole to fence their accounts, their daddy's accounts, their granddaddy's accounts, and their great-granddaddy's accounts, because they come from a long line of bloodsuckers, and if there was a judgment day, they'd be put in the deepest, darkest, hottest hell for 1,000 years and deserve every minute of it. Here in the land of the free, live like kings. Live like kings. Come on, boys. Let's have another drink. Play another 18 holes.
It's a renaissance of the rubber band. It's a golden age when the corporate royals take complete control.
Brother and sister, where will our children go?
Yeah, I hear Halliburton's gonna pull up stakes and move to Dubai. A little artificial city built on the bottom lip of the Persian Gulf where they can sit on their butts and drink martinis and watch the tankers roll by, cause it's control the oil, control the world. So says Big Dick Cheney in his big black oil-soaked dream. Yeah, they're changing all the laws that benefit the rich at 3%. Well, the middle class is on a big descent. The polar ice caps are melting. The sea levels rise and they're building coal-fired power plants and upsizing. One might think they would consider their own kids kids, but I guess they're too drunk on the smell of power and money to realize that the whole world's on the skids. And where are they going to go when it all comes washing down? They don't want to hear that kind of talk. What are they talking about, man? You nuts? Come on, boys. Let's get out of here. Let's have another drink. Another 18 holes. Another drink. Another 18 holes. Where will our children go? Yeah, they're filling up the airwaves with unnewsworthy junk to keep the people from realizing just how far we've really sunk. But the man behind the curtain's got them think tanks cooking. Making his move, ain't nobody looking.
It's a renaissance of the rubber band. It's a golden age when the corporate royals take complete control.
Brother and sister, where will our children go? Where will our children go?
That was Renaissance of the Robber Barons, found on the Atkinson Kinchlow CD. Did I say that correctly?
Perfectly.
Okay. And you can catch those guys sometime at the San Gregorio store.
May I be so bold as to say,
please do.
When? We're there every Thursday, every third Saturday of the month. And we usually, every month we play a Sunday morning show because that's where we like to rehearse. And George can't believe we'll come all the way down there and play, but we love it. And we call it church. And we rehearse there and we have a ball. And we play in a place called the Wine Bar in Half Moon Bay a lot now, too. We used to be playing bigger venues, but after my wife passed, I didn't have the heart to do. We were playing the Little Fox and Don Quixote's. We recently just did a memorial for my wife at Don Quixote's on the year anniversary of her death. But it's a little confusing. Her name is Lisa Atkinson, was Lisa Atkinson. She was a nationally known children's songwriter and singer. adored in the East. She's a good friend of Pete Seeger's, so I got to play with Pete Seeger a bunch because of my wife.
Wow. Yeah,
he adores, and we're going to play some of my wife's music a little later on. But I want to say I'm stunned. I always thought that Stanford fired George Cattermole, too. That came as a surprise.
Nah.
That you walked on him, maybe.
He just quit.
He just walked. Anyway, I'd like to hand it back to George Cattermole because I had the great honor just this last Saturday at the store of meeting a former Stanford professor, and as I gathered, immediately one of George's mentors and heroes, a really, really distinguished professor named John Manley. And take it, George.
Yeah, and I was glad that John could hear George's music, and he did. He liked it, and I wasn't surprised. In fact, I've heard from John recently. Last time on this program, I mentioned that when I was here, during the time I was here, there were two professors, John and Ron Rebholz in English. And I always considered them to be pretty much the conscience of the university, because whenever the university would misbehave, they were there to point out that it was headed in the wrong direction or doing the wrong thing. And they tirelessly, you know, fought to try to make this institution a just institution. Well, John actually sent me a letter that he'd written to the Stanford Alumni Magazine in March of 2008, and I just wanted to read that because I think it's in the United States of amnesia here. It's important to remember these sorts of things. To the editor, I don't know if the opposition to Condoleezza Rice's return to Stanford and the Hoover Institution will amount to much, but I cannot see a picture of my former colleague or think of her without imagining her hands stained red by the blood of nearly 4,000 dead American soldiers, thousands more wounded, and untold numbers of Iraqi casualties. David Kaye, who headed the futile search for weapons of mass destruction that were the primary justification of the war, has been quoted as saying Condoleezza Rice was the worst national security advisor in history, perhaps for her role in establishing President Bush's war policy and selling the war with her infamous mushroom cloud statement. I am not surprised the Stanford administration and Hoover would welcome her back, but the voices of those who oppose her return should not be stifled in a university dedicated to letting the winds of freedom blow. John Manley, Professor Emeritus of Political Science.
Just in case you just tuned in, you're listening to KZSU's Lunch Special, and today, former Stanford lecturer and current owner of the San Gregorio Story, hotbed of left-wing activism on the peninsula. So if any of you righties want to go down there and give him a hard time, especially them Duarts guys. But George Cattermole is our guest, and he's brought along his friend today, George Kinchlow, who's a local musician, singer-songwriter, another lefty, if I might add. And these two guys are boy, you guys are stirring it up today, man. Tell the people how you really feel.
Oh, no, I wouldn't dare do that. but I should, there's a caveat involved here. I should admit that I graduated from Harvard in 1972. And
how was that?
That was great. It was talk about exciting times. There was a lot of tear gas. And it was fun. We all had as open a mind as we possibly could. I didn't know how I was going to turn out. And
what did you study, George?
I studied,
liberal arts?
Yeah, nah, steady. It used to be, liberal used to mean something else, and then we've been calculated with this stuff. I studied social relations, which is a hodgepodge of anthropology, sociology, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated in general studies with honors. And then I immediately took the rock band I'd formed, grabbed a bunch of guys from Williams College, and started touring around the country. So my liberal education really helped out.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
Now, didn't the Harvard protesters, didn't they shut Harvard down for a minute?
My freshman year, for about a week, they occupied the faculty building and right in the yard where I was living.
68?
Yeah, it'd be spring of 69. I came within a gnat's behind of getting taken out by a lovely cop from Somerville. They brought in the Somerville cops who really hated the Hartford kids, and they dragged them out of the building and clubbed them. And actually, they were clubbing a guy in a wheelchair, and I jumped on the back of this cop, and he turned around, took a nice swing at me, parted my hair, but left the rest of my brains intact.
Wow.
And I beat a undignified retreat. I was as close as I wanted to come to getting my brains knocked in.
We had the Blue Meanies here in Oakland doing the same thing.
The same idea, get the cops who really hate the college kids. Anyway, So now you know where I'm coming from. Actually, I've come from a lot of different places. I'm going to turn you on to a song of mine that was on my first album called Painted Dragon, which was released in 93. It's a song about, oh, kind of about my Harvard contemporaries who went on, who had hair down the, you know, to their shorts and were right on for about 8 years and then drifted back into all the where the real money is. And this song is aimed at them, hopefully in a loving way, because, you know, everybody has to make their own choices, and not sure. Everybody can tour around the country being a starving musician, nor would I actually, well, actually, I'd recommend it, but only a couple of us are crazy enough to do it. And this song also addresses the issue of poverty in America and how we've turned our backs on it so incredibly since the New Deal and kind of criminalized the poor. And the chorus of this song, it says, "Slow, are you slow to anger, or maybe just slowing down?" I got that from my father was a minister. He was a marched with Martin Luther King. He was represented the Council of Churches in various cities, and proudly marched with Dr. King, and proudly hung out with people like Eleanor Roosevelt. And it makes me sick to see those people demonized by these you have to call thugs. We're just trying to give you a little other side of this here, folks, and I hope I'm not making you cringe. I think maybe a lot of you would agree with me, but it's not fashionable now to think that FDR was a great man since there's been so much stuff slung at him. Anyway, maybe we'll play the song, and George has some real important words to say about the fight against poverty that's still going on.
Who you meant to be? So you look the other way. The neighborhood's falling down, but you don't have to live down there, do you? Are you slow to anger, or maybe just slowing down? See the danger coming. Why don't you turn around? See the fire burning on the other side of town. Is it safe on the roof when the house is falling down? It wasn't all that long ago. Weren't you the nature boy? To the streets. If only he could look at you now, singing your Wall Street blues, and you haven't missed a beat, have you? Are you slow to anger, or maybe just slow down? See the danger coming. Why don't you turn around? See the fire burning on the other side of town. Is it safe on the roof when the house is falling down? Behind, you
there have come to despise you. That shouldn't surprise you now.
Okay, back now. That was Atkinson Kinchlow. You can catch him at the San Gregorio store every third or fourth Saturday. Third Saturday of every month. San Gregorio store is located out on Highway 84, just before the beach, just east of the beach by a little bit. And it is a hotbed of leftist activity out there. I want you folks to know that. And just so you know going in, you know. If you enjoy that Mike Savage and that Fox News, beware. Take your shoes off because it gets thick in there.
Well, you know, I should point out that as I put on our website that my goal is someday to have half the people in the room arrest the other half. Everybody's welcome. The music, though, as I've said before, is to me incredibly important. I've met wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people.
How often do you have music out there, George?
We have music Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 1 and then 2 to 5 in the afternoon. So
two shows a day?
Yeah, two shows a day.
Damn, dude, that's like Vegas.
Well, yeah, it is like, yeah. No, I don't think it's like Vegas.
You ain't got no two-drink minimum, do you?
Well,
you can shop with a martini in your hand. It's the finest store in the country.
That's very cool. I like that. I like that.
Well, musicians, though, as a class, my wife went to law school here and practiced some law, and I was in academia, and I've met a lot of contractors out there, people from different walks of life, but I'm probably repeating myself, everybody I see I say this to, that musicians, artists, poets, the chances that they'll care about the environment, about kids, pretty darn good. There's a musician who plays in several bands in the store, a woman named Marissa Martinez, who teaches school in Hunters Point. And that last song pretty much describes some of what's going on out there, which is the roof is burning down. The school she teaches in is El Dorado Elementary School. It's in Hunters Point, Visitation Valley. And almost all the children, 90% of them in her class, receive free lunches. You can just hear the right wing screaming about that. Well, that's because that the parents of those kids make less than $12,000 a year. As Marissa told me in an email recently, recent budget cuts have really killed her school. There's almost nothing left, she said. So what she did in a very enterprising way is to put together a CD with her kids. They're all around 6 to 10 years old. We've had them out several times to the coast. We look at pick pumpkins and go to the tide pools. It's really interesting because when they hit the beach, this happens time after time, it always sort of surprised me. And they get out of the bus and they go running down on the sand and they start to throw themselves down on the sand. And I remember asking Marissa why she thought they did that. And she said, well, where they're from, they can't throw themselves down on asphalt. at any rate, she has a CD that she made in order to raise funds for her school. It's called Chicken and ABCs. It's Mrs. Martinez and the Kinder Rock Band. Now, I want to point out this. I know Bird told me that we're not allowed to sell anything here unless it is nonprofit, and we had a little discussion about this before going on the air and figured out that that public schools hopefully are okay here on this.
Well,
point.
They're not making any profit.
But you can buy the CD from the website www.abcandchickens.com. That's abcandchickens.com, abcandchickens.com.
And where do the proceeds go?
And the proceeds go to her classroom to buy materials. And in fact, the materials they could use right now, the object they could use right now is computers. If anybody has any computers, they could definitely use those.
Could I chime in here for a second, fellas? You guys are just a couple years older than me, and I find it astounding that in this day and age, in the richest country in the world,
you
have school teachers who take their own money and have to go help out the schools. And it seems that, if I'm not mistaken, the entire school system in this country is being torn at the seams and is crashing and burning. Do you think there's some kind of conspiracy to destroy the public school system in this country?
I don't know about a conspiracy, but we know what the sort of overweening, overriding, ubiquitous sort of ideology is, which is to privatize everything, right? And I'll tell you, if we don't have public schools in this country, we're not going to have democracy in this country.
Well, if you want to dumb the people down so you could maybe take them into a needless war, wouldn't it be great if they weren't that educated? Or if you wanted them to vote a certain way, wouldn't it be great if they didn't have that much education?
Well, keep them busy. Keep their nose to the grindstone.
Welcome to the future.
Well, Marissa has played with Lane in the Badass Chicken Bones. She plays with a band now called Hang Jones. She's a great violin player, fiddle player, and I've seen her with her students. It's magic. It's wonderful. Mrs. Martinez, a lot of love and a lot of respect, and she's doing a lot of very good work, and she needs help. So if you can't reach her through that website, you can reach me at the San Gregorio store, and I will forward whatever kind of care you can give to her school, which is a wonderful school. Now, I want to play a couple cuts from that CD I told you about, which is for sale. All the money goes to helping out her classroom. Two songs. The first one is called The Chicken Song, and the second is, you Stanford physics folks out there will probably recognize this, Schrodinger's Cat.
Fourth. Speaks, boys and girls. Does he speak Vietnamese?
No.
No. Does he speak Spanish?
No.
No. Does he speak Samoan?
No.
No. Does he speak Cantonese?
No.
What language do you think the chicken speaks? Chicken!
Is everybody ready?
Don't pet him, cause you might get fleas. Or maybe some strange disease. He's got no teeth, can't kill a rat. Schrodinger's cat.
Little background on what you just heard, ladies and gentlemen. This CD was produced by the school teacher, Marissa Martinez. She's the school teacher at the elementary school in San Francisco and Hunters Point, and all the proceeds from this CD, and it's called Chicken and ABC's Mrs. Martinez and Kinder Rock Band. Just a couple of words on her. Marissa Martinez is a national board certified teacher who has been a kindergarten, first grade, and special education teacher for over 10 years. She has her master's in elementary education and a bachelor's in science and special ed. She has sung and wrote these songs for her students for years with great success in learning the standards and benchmarks in kindergarten and beyond. She has 3 daughters, 3 cats, 3 dogs, chickens, and 1 lovely husband. And she's just here to help the website, www.abcanchickens.com, abcanchickens.com. Once again, help out if you can. And George Cattermole has generously donated this current CD to the station. We'll make sure it gets in the A file and get some more information out on it, too. Now, back with more from the left side of things. You guys are going to force me to go ahead and start pulling my Bill O'Reilly out just so we get a little balance around here. We're here with George Cattermole, former Stanford lecturer, 26 years here at Stanford, Stanford student and lecturer, and George Kinchlow, local singer-songwriter and Harvard grad, 1972. And these guys are stirring the pot in a big way, and we're going to do the next hour together as well because there's so much to talk about. What's up next, fellas?
Well, I'm going to make sure that we're not perceived as just whining. A lot of this poetry is not just sniveling at what's happened or what we think should be happening, but a lot of it I try in my humble way to inspire people that to keep fighting, to keep going.
Good.
And I wrote this song, Something Better. It's something you said, Bird, about a conspiracy to destroy the public education. It's not a conspiracy if it's done right out in the open. And it couldn't be more obvious what they're doing to the public schools and the privatization of everything. Anyway, this addresses a song called Something Better. I wrote this for my mama before she passed, and she was so disgusted by the 8 years of the Bush crime family running things that she had begun to doubt that all the work that she and my father and Martin and the good people, I was brought up to believe them as great people, were doing, and she was very discouraged. And I wrote this song to her to say, no, things come in cycles. We keep fighting, we keep hopeful, and something better is going to come along.
Okay.
Talk about your hurricane. People drowning in the driving rain. How about that? Separate your better and your best. You're gonna throw away all the rest. Better get this off your chest tonight. Talk about your stolen dreams, but their facts are never what they seem. And it's hard to fight something like that. You can color in your blue and your red, where you buy that sun and we're half past dead. And I don't believe a single thing they've said tonight. Tell me what we fought for together. And your prayer for every time they try to tear us down. Try to keep a wheel on the road and a good eye on the gutter. Like as not, something better's gonna come around. Seldom ever happens in a single day. Good people, don't you give up the fight. A couple more times around and I'm on my way. Still I'd like to think we've gained some ground. And we're headed for the light. Brother, we've been on the run, but there's no shame in that. Talk about the boys at the top, how the dirty dealing never stops. Well, have you ever seen a change come down from those people up there? Tell me what we fought for together. Lift a prayer for every time they try to tear us down. Try to keep a wheel on the road and a good eye on the weather. Like as not, something better's gonna come around. Tell me what we fought for together. Lift a prayer for every time they try to tear. Try to keep a wheel on the road and a good eye on the weather. Like as not, something better is gonna come around.
That was George Kinchlow, a local singer-songwriter, and from his brand new CD, Better Days. And we heard this song right there. George, you go ahead and tell us.
Well, that's called Something Better, and take about 10 seconds of shameless promotion. I have a brand new CD out, and it's got Marty Atkinson and Scotty Bynum, my two current co-conspirators, and my dear departed wife plays all that beautiful harmonica you were just listening to. And I use my two children to sing all my wife's old harmonies. And I want to play a song now called Gone, and then you listen to it and see where you think I'm heading.
We do have a minute here. You mentioned your children were singing on your latest CD. Off mic, you mentioned that your kids went on, grew up, and apparently they have a band of their own now?
Actually, my daughter's still here in California, but my son has been in, he went to Manhattan School of Music and attracted all these great jazz guys who got sick of the jazz thing, and he put together a 9-piece horn band around my identical twin brother's daughter, Arlie Kinchlow, and her brother Jackson. The band's called Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds. I highly recommend you go up to the website. They are rocking Manhattan now.
Really?
They're signed to Modern Vintage Records, and their album's just about to come out, and they are filling places in Manhattan.
You've got to be really proud of that.
I'm so proud. I had a lot of them play on my album.
Have you been to see them in Manhattan?
I've actually played with them a couple times.
In Manhattan?
Yeah. No. Once in the Catskills and once in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kind of a long story there, but I've got to front a 9-piece horn band, which is, for an old folky like me, it was an awful lot of them.
That's great.
Well, I spent my first 25 years after Harvard playing rock and roll, but it's nice to have the horns, and these guys, they all play in tune.
Yeah. That always helps.
Yeah, it does. So I think we better cue up Gone if we're going to make the... it's cued.
You got it. Here it is, Gone, George Kinchlow, off his brand new CD, Better Days.
200 years or more, people farming in this valley, rising up each day before the morning sun. Calico and gingham twirling to a fiddle tune, a celebration when the harvest time had come. A celebration when the harvest time had come. We made it through the hard times, but brother, they never hit this hard. Will our memories soon be fading from our sight? One short generation has seen us driven from these farms. It feels like it happened overnight. And it's all gone, it's gone, it's gone. Like a river run to ground by the turning of the season, like some lover leaving town in a heartache song. It's gone away and it's gone to stay. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Gone, gone. Six years ago they shot Jack down in Dallas. When the watchman left his post beside the door, they hired killers and blamed it on some poor sad man. And then the generals took us marching off to war. Far back then and wait on Papa's story, and I raised them to avoid a heedless fight. And then the soldiers come down Main Street in their powder and their glory. He said, Father, I just know I'll be alright. Now he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. Like a river run the ground by the turning of the seasons, like some lover leaving town in a heartache song. He's gone away and he's gone to stay. The band had this new singer, she was up from Kingston, and they sing, I'll take you home again, Kathleen. Now I'm outside this fancy restaurant that's standing where those dancers did. Please someone wake me up from this, tell me I've been dreaming. Say that the springtime rain is bringing poison to our woods, and we dare not turn this water into wine. And the fat man on the radio says we never had it quite this good, but most folks down here swear that fool's lying. People gonna take from these mountains, people gonna take from the seas. I guess dead people are always gonna take from one another, but they're never gonna get your smile away from me. Even though it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Like a river underground by the turning of the season, like some lover leaving town. It's gone away, and it's gone to stay. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Gone, gone, gone. And more of people farming in this valley, rising up each day before the morning sun. Calico and gingham twirling to a fiddle tune in celebration when the harvest time had come. In celebration when the harvest time had come. In celebration when the this time it
just about 1 o'clock. You're in tune to KZSU Stanford in another hour with these two special guests, George Cattermole and George Kinchlow. Some more hotbed activity, some more information about nonprofits here on the peninsula, and some more great music. Keep it locked right here on KZSU 90.1 FM Stanford.
Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. The Stanford Blood Center supplies patients with more than 100,000 blood components per year to help save lives. They rely on community donors to accomplish their mission of making sure blood is there when needed. All healthy, eligible individuals are invited to become donors. For more information, call the Stanford Blood Center at 650-723-7831. Or visit bloodcenter.stanford.edu. That's bloodcenter.stanford.edu.
do want to let you know that the views or opinions expressed by the host, DJ, or their guests present on KZSU 90.1 FM Stanford do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Leland Stanford Junior University or its associates. Thank you for tuning into this KZSU 90.1 FM broadcast, and stand by for the second half of this special edition of the Lunch Special on KZSU Stanford. Now with George Cattermole and George Kinchlow, a couple of left-wing activists, kind of wacky guys, one from Harvard, one from Stanford, one lectured here, one didn't. And George Cattermole, you want to talk about that last song we just played by George Kinchlow?
Yeah, I would. Well, first I'd like to say that notice the topics that we're taking on here today. A person I think most of people in the United States have at least heard of, named Bill Moyers, retired recently, sadly, from the journalism business, said of the Atkinson-Kinchlow efforts, Atkinson-Kinchlow takes us to a quiet and deep and good place where we are in touch with what matters. That last song had to do with...
Are you saying that Bill Moyers actually knows about Atkinson-Kinchlow? And
Bill is a huge fan of my music and my wife's and Marty's, yeah.
How is that...
long story, but he just loves what we do. And
he's seen you play, obviously.
He's never seen us live, but he's got all our records, all our CDs.
Okay. Oh,
he's
wow.
He and I write kind of on a pen pal level. We talk through our correspondence, and it's funny, we don't email, we write real letters like old people used to.
Wow, that's great.
It's an honor. Yeah, and he wrote the most beautiful thing when my wife Lisa died. Extraordinary, thoughtful response, because he loved her music. So that's Bill Moyers, the actual Bill. He's a big fan.
That's great.
I'll drop a couple names later, but I want to give the floor to George Cattermole here. That last song, if you just tuned in, you just missed a song that is as clearly anti-war as anything I've written. It's called Gone. It's about losing the country and losing your immediate family to the lure of the military. And George has something he'd like to share about that thought.
Yeah, I don't want to drop names. I want to really certainly shout them out loud here and push them. That last war did have to do with kids marching off to war. And I have a friend in Hawaii. She's a professor in the English department at the University of Manoa in Honolulu. And she's written a book. It just recently came out in paperback, thank goodness, because the hardcover book was pretty darn expensive. Palgrave Macmillan has just published a book called Manipulating Masculinity, and subtitled War and Gender in Modern British and American Literature by Kathy J. Phillips. This is one of the most important books I've come across in a long, long time. I would recommend it for anybody teaching in courses in feminism, psychology, sociology, philosophy. What it is a survey of literature of pretty much this century, an investigation of the wars that have been fought in this century, and pointing out how novels and poems have really been used to construct a notion of masculinity. And masculinity is, I would really stress, a social construct. The original title, I forget exactly what it was, but I believe it had sissy in the title. And what she shows is how the mass mobilization of masculinity, really, or the anxiety over masculinity, has really motivated a lot of people to go and fight. And I really want to stress how important I think this book is. A layperson, it's certainly accessible to a layperson. A lot of the works that she refers to, I have not read. Many of them I have, because she deals with most of the important authors of this century. But let me just want to read something from this book. Because she talks about how the notion of masculinity is contradictory. And she says, separate chapters on World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War divide into some four rubrics indicating four aspects of the dominant gender ideology that drove British and American men to war throughout the 20th century. A. I fight to prove I am not my sister, but I suspect I am. B. I fight to prove I am not attracted to men, but I do want to see male bodies. C. I fight to prove I'm not emotional, but I do love my comrades. D. I fight to protect my sister, but I hate my sister, so as not to be her. I recommend to all you academics out there that you take a look at this book, and if possible, use it in your courses, because it deals with a kind of analysis, and the important kind of analysis, I think, in the social sciences.
You know, Fox News would call that kind of wimpy, George.
Oh, I'm sure they would. It'd be very effeminate.
Here we are with George Cattermole, former Stanford lecturer, 26 years here, including his time as a student. Got caught up in the anti-war protests from the 60s. And George Cattermole's friend, George Kinchlow, a local singer-songwriter, part of the Atkinson Kinchlow Band, and they perform at the San Gregorio Store the third Saturday of every month. The first show or the second show?
The 2 to 5.
2 to 5, the
and
second show.
At least one Sunday every month we do a morning show, 11 to 1, but you have to go up to their website.
Can people walk in and watch you play? Because you said that's band practice.
Oh, yeah, we don't shut the door. George has got to, you know, sell martinis and stuff.
That's
Do
leftists drink martinis?
Oh, you bet. Yeah.
They do?
Yeah. That's just leftist stuff. Come on.
They're pink martinis, aren't they?
I want to take this, since, we, you know, rather than joke about being on what side we're on, and this is a song I want you to hear, how beautiful my wife's voice was. She and I wrote this song with a guy who ran the Stanford Student Ministries here, the Protestant Student Ministries, for 10 years, a guy named Jim Berklow. It was about 10 years ago that he left here, but he had an incredible outlook. He would take Stanford students to East Palo Alto, kind of ties in with our plea for computers, to show them what reality was like, which is, you know, I would think a Stanford student could use that. And he also takes summer trips down the border to help the mojados, which was his term, or there, he didn't create it, it's the slang for wetback, and trying to bring some sanity to that issue. And
wait,
so,
wetback is a slang?
Yeah, okay, slang for slang. Good, yeah, picky.
Well, we're at Stanford together.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Well, you know, this guy's a Stanford guy, and he's written two beautiful books. You can find him, I'm sure he's got a website, Jim Berklow. Barnlike and Birdless was the last one he wrote. Really, really progressive stuff.
And he wrote this next song.
He and Lisa Atkinson and me wrote it together, and it's called We're All Mojados in the Promised Land.
Cross that bright river today. All our backs will be wet when we finally stand at the throne of God someday. Nobody's thirsty in the promised land. Coyote can't steal. Buzzards don't glide over desert sands. There is no border patrol. We are all mottos in the promised land. We cross that bright river. IDs to buy. They don't take your money and leave you free, and you can't get caught in a lie. We are all mottos in the promised land. We'll cross that bright river. From the promised land, you cross over there, you are home. It's our place to build and our place to stand. Heaven to earth, kingdom come. We are all mottos in the promised land. We'll cross that bright river. All our backs will be wet when we finally stand at the throne of God someday. We are all mottos in the promised land. We'll cross that bright river today. All our backs will be wet when we finally stand at the throne of God someday. All our backs will be wet when we finally stand at the throne of God someday.
I love that line in the song, All Our Backs Will Be Wet.
Start that over again, George. I didn't have your mic on. George Cattermole here, but that was a song by George Kinslow, right?
And Lisa.
Right.
That was a song by Lisa Atkinson. Excuse me.
And Jim Berkla from Stanford. So.
That's right. That's right. And George, go ahead and George Cattermole. What do you want to say about that song?
What a beautiful voice and singing about a very important topic, very topical, timely right now. I love the line, "All our backs will be wet." Joan Baez walked in the store once, and whenever she does, I get kind of try to not act silly because I have an awful lot of respect for her. And she walked in, and on the very front of her T-shirt, it said, "I am an immigrant." And then she walked by, and on the back of her T-shirt, it said, "And so are you." I think we might have had a Native American there who took exception to that. But, you know, these are pretty serious things that are going on now in Arizona, for example. Where I live, a lot of ranchers and farmers have Mexicans working there, Mexican-Americans, hardworking, honest, good people. They're my friends. Don't mess with them is basically my point of view on this issue. But I also have a suggestion that I'd like to throw out there, and I'm dead serious about this. If you think about all the money that's being spent on enforcement, on sending people down there, building fences, we're talking now, I think, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. Imagine if you took that money and had John Deere, Ferry Morse, irrigation companies and so on, help them out, encourage them to send some of this equipment down to Mexico. Think of Mexico as like Texas. Well, in fact, Texas used to be part of it, right? But think about it. The land is there, okay? The resources are there. The water is there. The oil is there. The people are there. And they could be doing it there, but they're not. Why? Because it's been to the benefit of our agricultural industries to have these people doing the really, really difficult work, and not just in agriculture, but a lot of the difficult, menial work is being done by these people. But anyway, that's just a suggestion. You know, you can solve problems with money, and this is one of them, I think, that could be. There's another song that I'd like to play here. It's by George's, as he says, co-conspirator, Marty Atkinson. George, you have something to say about this? Or?
Yeah, this is a really beautiful, brilliant song by Marty Atkinson. He's a Canadian, but he's been out here for years. He and his brother Jimmy grew up playing with the guys in the band, as in the actual band. They're from Simcoe, Ontario, where Rick Danko is from.
Did they ever get their papers since they're down here now?
Oh yeah, they are actually legal. Amazingly, Jimmy actually moved all the way back to Canada, but Marty's he's here legally.
Because nobody talks about our Canadian problem.
No,
you know, a lot of white people walking around America don't have papers.
Don't have the green card.
They're not legal.
Exactly.
But I don't see ICE going after them.
No, because they're white people.
That's, they're the right color.
Exactly.
Complexion for the protection.
Exactly.
Very,
very
would
nice.
Say.
Yeah, they're not going to get pulled over driving just because of what they look like.
Driving while black or brown.
Yeah. Anyway, this song that Marty wrote is on a very personal level. He was sitting around with two guys from Guadalajara, and they were talking about how they hadn't seen their kids in 2 and 3 years. And Marty was thinking about what a tough ticket he had with going to Nashville and having 2 major label deals and having that fall through. And it occurred to him that maybe he was, you know, whining about the wrong thing. So I want you guys to listen to this. It's called Where I Don't Belong.
It's a great song. It's a great song. In South San Jose, six Mexican ranches, trying to work our way out of the badlands. Spirits are willing, progress is slow. Bajo, poquito, dinero. Yesterday's beer is unfriendly today. God knows I'm drinking too much anyway. I don't belong. Works like a dog, sings like a bird. Our real story will never be heard. Ain't seen his wife or his kid in a year. Fights back a tear, and he orders a beer. He pictures her smile, and he works even harder. Closing his eyes, stepping back across the border. Like I was born to live my life where I don't belong. And someday we'll fly up over these hills and away. But not today. Today. Lost in this wasteland, I call my life story. Two broken homes and a lost bid for glory. Like a low budget movie, shot on locations. In an unending series of working vacations. Well, Mario plays on his ranch in Guerrero. I put an engine in this beat-up Camaro.
like I was born to live my life where I don't belong. Out where I don't belong.
What's it gonna be, boys? It's all been said, and it's all been done. You got to put it to bed, 'cause who cares who won? I can see your reservations, so let me say it. Tell me, what's it gonna be, boy?
The world.
was Lisa Atkinson, wife to George Kinchlow, and she's gone now, but left some wonderful music. And George, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, her music lives on in a lot of different levels. She's a nationally, I still say she was a nationally famous children's songwriter. Some of you people, if you're student age, might have grown up with her music. I said before, she was a dear friend of Pete Seeger's and that whole crowd of people out there who sing, and they understand that singing to children is just as important as singing to grown-ups, maybe even more important of getting their hearts and minds. And that song was by Lisa. It's called Indians. And if you were paying attention, class, the first line was, "Dancing on the edge of the world, you will find us, driven from a place that we once called home." That's an old Ohlone Indian line from an actual people who were, as you said earlier, Bird, the only people in this country who aren't mojados or wetbacks are the Native Americans. And that's how my wife wanted to put it. She just said, maybe this time the Indians will win. So,
yeah, well, if anybody saw Avatar, they did.
Yeah, that got a little messy. But anyway, I'd kind of like to play a couple more of my songs. One from our album, Simple as That, which Lisa and I made in Canada.
Can I read this quote real quick Bill Moyers wrote about you guys? You put it in your latest CD. And Bill Moyers, you did mention a minute ago that is a big fan. And Bill Moyers wrote, "Atkinson Kinchlow takes us to a quiet and deep and good place where we are in touch with what matters. Ah, what joy you offer." Bill Moyers, in quotes.
Guy, it's too bad he doesn't have a way with words. Huh?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to play you guys a song of mine called Wheels of Change. Actually, two in a row. One's called Wheels of Change. It's from my solo album, Painted Dragon. And the other one is Steelmaker's Town. They both talk about the disintegration of the small farm and the family life and the total change in the society. I worked in a dairy farm in the Catskills when I was 19, and it was a rich, fertile valley full of farmers and happy, intelligent people, happy to send their children to places like Harvard and Cornell. That's how I ended up there. My proctor at Harvard freshman year's dad owned a dairy farm, like 50 cows. The summer of my life. My twin brother's written a very funny novel about it called Tall Tales of the Catskills, but that's maybe picked up by Penguin this year, we're hoping, because he's a very literate guy, went to Williams and teaches college and high school history out in the Catskills now. But this is a song called Wheels of Change, which is about my friends in the Catskills losing what they had, what was so precious, and it was all because of the economic shutdown that people decided they needed to get going, in my view, so that voices of dissent would be too busy trying to stay alive. Their reaction to the 60s was, let's dumb everybody down, as you said before. Let's make it a lot harder to survive. And they sure did a good job in the Catskills. They wiped out 90% of those family farms.
So what is it all now, condos and strip malls?
Fortunately, it's not. The people there are still hanging on. It still looks the same. The farms just aren't working. They've managed to keep basically the farms are all now second homes for wealthy people from New York City. Uh-huh. But there's still a thriving community out there. They have ski resorts. They found ways to make money off the people coming up from the city, but it's not the family-oriented, wonderful agrarian thing. You know, I don't consider myself a dreamy idealist, but I lived that for a summer, and then we went back every chance we could, either from Boston or Williamstown, and when it kept wanting to live it. My twin brother lives above the Delaware River on a house that looks like Norman Rockwell painted it. Hmm. It's a tiny, poor community called Hockettsville, but it's as beautiful as any place in the world. And so let's play Wheels of Change. It's my song for my friends in the Catskills.
Clouds come in this morning, the weather vane said they would. I've taken the last load into town, and I locked her up the best I could. I thought last night I might burn her down, but I'll leave that for the banker's crew. They can start the party with a season's worth of bills lying around here, marked overdue.
sleepy little small town, 1952. Neighbor couldn't name one thing that I wouldn't do for you. River and my that river she loves so. Factory choked the life out long ago. Move a little time on some TV show. It wasn't worth a damn to see. And these wheels of change are rolling. The innocence is slowly going. Don't you turn your back on the wind that's blowing through. Or these wheels of change will roll right over you. Come in this morning, the weather vane said they would. Pennsylvania borough, a steel maker's town. People working hard, family. endless stores and brick-lined schoolyards. Everybody shared a certain pride in that old flag on the wall. Now my oldest brother married the prettiest girl in town. And years ago they settled down south. Last year they drove up north to see the old familiar places where they first fell in love. I know they both took it hard to find the places boarded up and fallen apart. See the anger in the eyes of the kids going nowhere but someplace else.
Flag on the wall.
And to the republic for which it
flag
stands.
On the wall.
When did this dream slip through
flag
our hands? Remember
flag
when you really believed it all? See how this river is rising.
See how this river rises.
Someday this water will fall. Someday this water's gonna fall. Up and they're falling apart. Sold down the Allegheny River while we covered our hearts. I pledge allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the stripes and the stars. Rich man, poor man, wise man or fool, this is not what we dreamed of. And now the flag of our fathers is used as a tool to sell another war on TV. Here's to your red, white, and blue. As I thought you stood for mercy and truth, now I see red for blood, I see blue for banker, I see white for the ghost of the town I once knew. To the republic for which it stands. When did this dream slip through our hands? Remember when you really believed it all. See how this river is rising. Some days there's nothing you can do at all. Someday this water's gonna fall. See how this river is rising. Someday this water will fall. Someday this water's gonna fall. It's got to fall.
Beautiful music for a Monday afternoon. That's the Atkinson Kinchlow Band, and we have George Kinchlow in the house this afternoon, along with George Catamaro. George Kinchlow, talk to the folks about your music.
Well, you've been hearing my wife, Lisa Atkinson, and some cuts by Marty Atkinson. Lisa and I fell in love in 92. We were playing the same local folk circuit, and we're never separate from the moment we first started singing together. She died last May at the unbelievably young age of 51. But Marty and I decided in to stay sane, and in her honor, and honor her memory, we were going to, by God, finish this album that we'd started, which was my solo album, which is what a lot of what you're hearing today. I want to play some more cuts from that for you. The album's called Better Days. If you like what you're hearing, you can get all this stuff up on a website called CD Baby. They're real musician-friendly. It's a wonderful spot for independent music. You could find just about anything you want, and it will be up on iTunes.
You have a website that we just looked at, too, that has all your stuff on there under Atkinson Kinchlow, right?
And we may have to spell that, or if you're interested, you can call the station.
Or if you're in the area, you can come down to the San Gregorio store any third Saturday of the month for the 2 to 5 show and see this band live and probably buy one of the CDs there, right?
Oh, yeah. George has them to sell, and we sell them. You know, you can get this music a lot of different ways. But I can't tell you, George is pretty modest about his place. It is one of the coolest places on the planet. We love playing there. When Lisa first called him years ago, George, you wouldn't remember this, but Lisa called and you said, no, I'm booked for 5 years. And she said, well, let me send you a CD. And we sent you that, simple as that, which that last song, Steelmaker's Town, was on.
And all of a sudden he had an opening.
Well, all of a sudden he had a Sunday open the next week. Yeah, it was great. It was
funny
great.
How that happens.
Yeah, so he's got an ear for what works in that store. And it's just the best place. It's the anti-mall. You can shop with a beer in your hand or a martini. There's a lot of stuff for kids.
Or without.
Yeah, you don't have to drink. But, you know, sometimes on a Sunday you might want to have one. I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, George, we started playing there and found quickly he was a fascinating man. His friends ranged from Russ Francis, the 49er football star, to Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And that's when I got really impressed, when George talked Lawrence Ferlinghetti into coming down to hear our music. And we had a fabulous afternoon. My wife was still alive, and it's one of those magic days. Actually, you know what, Bert? It was the first time I've been nervous in about 30 years when we started to play. I thought, now what do I play for Lawrence Ferlinghetti? And then I just shrugged and said, well, whatever I got, and we'll see what happens. And he's actually told George Cattermole that he's going to come back down and see us sometime before summer's over. So
that's
a very cool thing.
Well, one day we'll get him down here to the station, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, here's a cut from Better Days. It's called Along the Way, and it's you figure out what it's about. It's a Zen Buddhist Southern Baptist kind of thing.
In the language of my fathers, blessed be the ties that bind. Am I looking for directions here, or just a little peace of mind? Can the wisdom of the ages still be read between the lines, when we so often skip a page or two for fear of running out of time? But as we face tomorrow, we should turn to yesterday and maybe shine a little light on any truth that we might have found along the way. Hey, I got a message here from my brother, and he says again you will find, when you catch what you went after, won't you send some down the line? Every one of us needs these times to hold and treasure from our past, like maybe something that an old friend said that you figured out at last. That we're all in this together seems the simplest thing to see. And how that news keeps getting lost along the way somehow is a mystery to me. Along the way, oh, shine a little light upon it. And now us these ties that bind us still today. And shine a little light on any truth that we might have found along the way. In the voices of our mother, is it possible to find a kinder new direction, maybe a gentler turn of mind? Can the wisdom of a different age be foreshadowed by these signs to say that some of the old ways have betrayed us here? Tends to understate the times. For the mercy of your children, may you sail a different sea and somehow muster up the sense to turn this ship around and finally practice what you preach. Shine a little light upon her. And bless these ties that bind us still today. Shine a little light on any truth we might have found along.
Beautiful music here on Monday afternoon. George Kinchlow, talk about that.
Well, I want to, we're running out of time, so I hope you like that song. I want to play a song that my wife wrote. We have a dear friend, Peter Beagle, who's a fantasy writer, and he, if you know anything about fantasy, you know him. He won the Hugo and the Nebula in the last 2 years, but he wrote the book, The Last Unicorn, and made him famous, and he's a dear friend. We were sitting around the living room one night, and he played us this old Georges Brassens tune called Le Petit Général. And Lisa thought it sounded way too military, so she wrote her own version of it. And the chorus is Fais dodo, which is colloquial early 1920s French for go to sleep. So this is called Le Petit Général. It's one of the great anti-war songs ever written. It was inspired by our friend Peter Beagle. I give you Lisa Atkinson.
A little boy tucked in his bed with a glass of warm milk and a kiss on his head, but he isn't ready for sleep. He looks under his bed for toy soldiers he keeps. He sets them all up for a fight right at dawn, double checks all his strategies with a big yawn, sinks into his pillow and worries are done. That's the way war should be won. That's the way war should be won. Fais dodo, petit général, oh please sleep tight. Fais dodo, petit général, good night. Fais dodo, petit général, such places you go. Good night, mon petit, fais dodo. that's just the way it should be. We'll all fall asleep and next morning agree that we have no more use for a fight. We'll pull up our covers so safe every night, and everyone's home and they're fed. Mama puts those toy soldiers back under his bed. So glad that the fighting is done. That's the way war should be won. That's the way war should be won. Fedor, petit general, oh please sleep tight. Fedor, petit general, good night. Fedor, petit general, such places you see. Fedor, petit general, bon nuit. Fedor, petit general, bon nuit.
It's a beautiful, beautiful voice there. I want to thank everybody for listening to us all this time. And if you'd like to get in touch, we've talked about a lot of subjects, and I'd love to get some feedback from people out there on these topics. I think they're important topics we've talked about. You can always reach me through the San Gregorio Store, sangregoriostore.com.
And that's George Cattermole speaking
and,
right there.
We're going to go out with, I think it's pretty much my favorite song, George does. It's called Simple as That. And it's one of those, I think the Germans have a word called earworm or airway. Anyway, it's one of those songs that just all of a sudden it pops up in the morning and it's still there in the afternoon and it's still there that night and it's still there the next morning. And Simple as That. George Kinchlow.
I want to thank both you guys for coming in, and do stay in touch, and we'll see you down at the San Gregorio Store.
Fantastic.
Somewhere in the valley, she can hear that whistle blow. Hey, don't you fret the day now. The sound reminds her to let go. And drifting in and out of sleep, she says another prayer for peace, or just a chance to make things better. I don't know. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. After all the love you make, you get to take some back. Hatred fuels an age-old train round an endless circle. There's a train leads from the station, and with the proper inspiration, it ain't ever turned back. Down the south end of the city, where bars form crosses on the wind, he can see the angels falling, and there's no safety net below. And at every stop he makes, waits a body in despair. Still he tries to make a difference. I don't know. It's as simple as that.
it's as simple as that. After all the love you make, you get to take some back. Hatred fuels an age-old dream, round an endless circling track. Well, there's a train leaves here this morning. What with any kind of warning's gonna find a straight path? Here comes old I-49, open throttle on a head full of anger. Angel, help me carry the news to the signalman. Whoa, signalman, won't you throw your switch before that train gets by? The sky is gonna clear now. I think we can get on time. And maybe next year come this season, we can bring the Madre here. Keep these 14-hour days, they don't move us from this place. We'll build something different for the children, I don't know. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. After all the love you make, you get to take some back. Hatred fuels an age-old train, bound an endless circling track. There's a train leaves from this station, and its final destination is a better world than that. It's as simple as that. Whoa, it's as simple as that. After all the love you make, you get to take some back. Hatred fuels an age-old train, round an endless circling track. There's a train leaves from this station, and with the proper inspiration, it ain't ever turned back.
And if you'd like to hear a copy of today's show, go to Radio for All, radio, the number for all, .com and .org, and you can get a copy. You can hear a copy of that show, or you might be able to pull it down or rebroadcast it on another station. This is KZSU Stanford, and the views or opinions expressed by the host DJ or their guests present on KZSU 90.1 FM Stanford do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Leland Stanford Junior University Arts Associates. We thank you for tuning into this KZSU 90.1 FM broadcast, and stand by for another exciting edition of Philosophy Talk right here on KZSU.
Welcome to Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything
except your intelligence. I'm John Perry.
And I'm Ken Taylor. We're